What happens when a Catholic deacon matches wits with a Catholic radio show host? You get a marriage made in heaven. They may not always agree, but they're always faithful. It's the Aikens with their View from the Pew on Modern Day Radio.
And welcome to this episode of View from the Pew. I'm your host, Brenda Aiken, and joining me today, as always, is the man who loves to sacrifice during the Lenten season, the good deacon, Scott Aiken.
Yeah, and that's even made larger for me this year as I am finishing my first year of teaching theology. And so I'm telling the students all the things that they should consider. And then I'm thinking to myself, well, I better walk the walk and talk the talk. So yes, I've added some more sacrifice, not least of which is being humble to my lack of knowledge that I'm still learning, becoming the teacher that I am of juniors.
I love this. Just a couple of ideas just listening to you. Yes, for one, it is a sacrifice to spend your days with teenagers, young teenagers at that, because we've raised four. We know that they have unusual ideas about things. But at the same time, too, what is never on their minds is their own mortality. You and I are getting older. We see retirement coming up just around the corner. And the idea, as we feel those kind of creaks and aches and pains that our body gives us, that, yeah, we are mortal beings. And boy, Lent is that time that reminds us of that. But trying to get teenagers to know that they are dust and to dust they shall return just doesn't always resonate.
No, and I think, you know, that's a great point, because for teenagers, as those of us listening can recall, that sense of immortality, like we just are never going to die.
That's right.
And, you know, that's a hard thing to impress, except when you're able to point to current examples that exist in their own life that they may otherwise try to avoid, but helping them to enter into presence. And that's what I've been working with them to do, is how to enter into presence with their family, to recognize the loss of someone, and to reflect on that, think back, and what did I think of that? And it's amazing how quickly people can be drawn into a greater, deeper discussion when you just give them the opportunity. But presence is so much what we need to be aware of, our own presence to those who are suffering a loss, recognizing we too are mortal and will die someday.
I also recognize, too, I remember being a younger and living the Lenten season, and it just filled with so much angst, like, oh, I'm suffering because I've given up my favorite television show back in the day when we didn't have even VCRs to record it so you could watch it later, or I'm giving up and sacrificing meat on Fridays or sweets, whatever. And then now I look at Lent, and I was actually leading up since the beginning of the month, knowing that Ash Wednesday was going to be in February, like, this is it. This is our time to shine. I want to give it up. I want to feel that little bit of pain, of suffering, because, boy, the redemption and the grace that it fills me with opposite that feels so good. Again, life, fortunately, the years make us a little wiser.
So we just went on a trip down to visit our goddaughter and her family. And on the way down, we drove through this long tunnel that goes through the mountain, one of the mountains we passed through. And when we go through there, we remember our kids and we hold our breath like they do every time you go through a tunnel. Well, you know, I can't help but think that we enter into Lent almost like a kid who's going to hold their breath for 40 days and then let that out and be glad it's over with. And really, if we think about what we're offering for sacrifice, shouldn't be something that we do in a sense of pride, like I held my breath for that 40 days, but was I transformed by it? Father Nathy at the parish that I serve at brought that up last night on Ash Wednesday. Are we entering into a resurrection moment at Easter because of Lent? Are we transformed as we're called to be because of the sacrifice we make? Changes a little bit of how we view a sacrifice, other than when you're a kid, you just give up candy. I can't wait till 40 days is over so I can have candy again. It's like holding your breath through that tunnel. How do we go beyond that? That's, I think, the challenge.
Oh, and such a beautiful metaphor, too. Again, holding your breath during this Lenten seasons to, you know that at the end, the tunnel, the light of that resurrection morning, we fill our lives up again with the beauty and life that the resurrection brings us. And so many wonderful things for us to learn about this Lenten season. Now, we also think about Lent and what's going on right in front of us, but the whole Catholic world, and Pope Leo has been talking about this a lot recently, we're all entering into this Lenten season, this penitential season around the world. Catholics all do this, which brings us to today's show. I'm really excited on the Morning Blend that we're starting a new ongoing series with the editor of Catholic World Report. Carl Olson's going to be bringing us stories every week on the morning show of the Catholic faith lived around the world and some of the struggles that people undergo, because it's important for us to know that right here in the United States, facing the things that really maybe not be quite as difficult as other people are feeling around the world. Carl Olson is our guest today, talking about how he, a convert to the faith, now brings stories of faith from around the world.
When we come back, we'll share some of our experience of having our eyes opened on pilgrimage to see how much of an insulated life we may actually live our Catholic faith in America when we're faced with realizing a new culture's view on what we have practiced so long.
So we got a great show ahead for you on this week's View from the Pew. So stay with us.
And all your money won't another minute buy. Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind.
All we are is dust in the wind. Dust in the wind.
Deep Virtue with Bear Wozniak.
Aloha. This is Bear Wozniak with Deep Virtue number 69. You know what's tough is when you're testing for your black belt and you got to do 100 push-ups without stopping. That's hard. You want to know what's harder? What's harder is when you're driving along on the highway and someone wants to cut you off to get into the lane, or you're in line at Starbucks and there's someone coming in the other doorway, so you make a big rush to get in there in front of them. There's kind of this feeling that we have that we deserve to be treated better than that other person. How many times have you made a rush to get in line from someone else? You kind of see them jockeying for position. You get there at the cashier's line at the grocery store first. You know what? God loves them as much as he loves you. He doesn't prefer you to them. You don't have a right or privilege to get in line in front of other people. So I'm going to give us a challenge for this week. For this week, let's do something really hard. Let's do the 100th push-up. Let's defer to other people as often as we can. Let's make a decision, whether it's to get in line in front of them at Starbucks, or they want to go to this movie and you want to go to that movie. I want us to make a decision to defer to others in love, because God really does love them as much as he loves you. You don't get any special. We always feel so special sometimes to the Lord, but he loves everyone the same. And so I want us to take this next week until our next show to just defer to others in love. To me, that's harder than the 100th push-up. But something has happened to me in the last few years, and I find myself looking forward to giving way to other people in love. It just makes me feel like, you know, God loves them and God loves me, and I pray for them. So this is Bear Wozniak with Deep Adventure. You can find me at deepadventure.com.
Deep Virtue with Bear Wozniak. Find out more at deepadventure.com.
Please join me, Archbishop Alexander Sample, in this prayer to St. Michael the Archangel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our safeguard against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
For more prayer resources, and to share your intentions with our prayer team, please download the free Hail Mary Media app or visit us online at materdeiradio.com. We're leading souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary at Mater Dei Radio.
Hi, I'm Deacon Rolando Moreno, and I'm excited to announce that Mater Dei Radio is partnering with My Catholic Will. My Catholic Will is an easy way to write your will and secure a legacy of faith for your family and loved ones. You can make a lasting and impactful gift to your family and the Church by completing your will and remembering Mater Dei Radio. This simple online tool for writing your will is our free gift to you. Find all the details at materdeiradio.com. Thank you for your continued prayers and generosity, and may God richly bless you.
Family life can be hectic, but God can be found right in the middle of it. So take a moment for this week's View from the Pew.
Well, we know that the word Catholic, it means universal. And when our Pope speaks to us, he is speaking to the Catholics of the world. And that is the aim of Catholic World Report, to bring the news and the stories that are going on in our Catholic world. Carl Olson is the editor of Catholic World Report, and he's joining me today because we are so excited to start a new series of conversations. Every week, Carl will be joining us as we talk about an important story that's happening in our Catholic world. Carl, thanks so much for joining us today. It's great to meet you.
Thanks, Brenda. Great to meet you. Good to be here. Thanks.
Now, I know for some of our listeners, they're going to be excited to get to know you and learn more about Catholic World Report, but there are a number of our listeners who go, I know Carl Olson. He's been a part of Mater Dei Radio back with KBVM. You've been on before. So for our listeners, both current and old ones who've been listening to you for a while, just introduce yourself to us.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I work for Ignatius Press, and I have for about 22 years now worked for Ignatius Press. My wife and I are converts to the Catholic faith. We entered the church together in 1997, and we were young evangelical Protestants who both attended Bible colleges. I went to Bible college up in Canada. She went to Multnomah Bible College, which our listeners here will know all about. And we met in Portland back in 1991 and began dating, and then married in 1994. And during that time, right on the time really we were getting married, we were both starting to ask a lot of questions about our faith, the history, the theology. And in short, we began to discover the Catholic Church and to kind of work through some, you know, questions, a lot of questions that we had about the Catholic Church and about church history. And we were fortunate, I think very fortunate by God's grace, to find, we were actually living right across the street in Eugene, Oregon from St. Paul's Catholic Church, and finally got up the courage to go over and meet the priest, Father Tim Mikaitis, who I think has now been to Salem for a long time. And Father Tim was fantastic. We had a great conversation. I think it was just me going on blathering, and he just listened. And he encouraged us to go through the RCIA program at that time. And it was fantastic. Marie Brishner was the lady who, and it was great. It was catechism. It was really substantive. Learned a tremendous amount. I mean, I thought I was ready. I'd been spending like 2-3 years reading a lot of stuff, but my wife was like, you know what? This is good. We should do this. And it was. We met our sponsors there, Deacon Jack Luz and his wife Lorene, and then shortly after entering the church in the spring of 1997, I began a master's in theological studies with the University of Dallas. And again, that was very providential. It was really remarkable looking back how that worked out. And that was through the Archdiocese of Portland. That had been put together, I think, by then Archbishop Francis George, who was here in Portland for a very short period of time, but he was the Archbishop when we entered the church. I got to meet him a couple times, and he would later actually write a foreword to a book that I co-authored, The Da Vinci Hoax. A wonderful man, great admiration for him. And so we entered the church, began this program, and I was working in retail advertising. But I knew that I wanted to do something more. As wonderful as it was to create layout selling socks and shoes, I wanted to do something else. And as it turned out, I was able to work as a catechist for a couple of years at the parish we've been in since 2000, which is the Ukrainian parish here in the Eugene Springfield area, Nativity of the Mother of God, Ukrainian Catholic Church. And then in 2002, I began working for 2 years as editor of Envoy magazine, which was focused on apologetics and evangelization. And then since 2004, I've been working for Ignatius Press. And to sum up that to where I am now with Catholic World Report. I was originally hired by Ignatius Press to start a website called Ignatius Insight that was going to be devoted to author interviews and book excerpts, things to promote Ignatius Press books, which I'd already been reading very widely and loved. And so I did that for a number of years. And then one day I get a call. This is 2011. My boss, Mark Brumley, the president of Ignatius Press, called me and said, Carl, what do you think about being the editor of Catholic World Report? Now, Catholic World Report had been founded in the early 1990s by Father Joseph Fessio, the founder of Ignatius Press. And it had gone through, I think, maybe five different editors. But that editor was leaving. And Mark asked me if I wanted to be the editor of Catholic World Report. And he said, there's kind of a, here's the deal. He said, we're actually no longer going to be publishing the print, the physical version of Catholic World Report, because the costs were too prohibitive. I said, so you're asking me to be the editor of a magazine that no longer exists. Is that what you're asking me? That became the running joke. But actually what they wanted to do, of course, was take it entirely online, which it has been since 2012. And it's completely free. We've been doing that for all these years, and it keeps growing and growing and growing, and it's done very well. And it's been fascinating. I just keep learning so much about the Catholic faith through the news and through the things that are going on in the church, and it's both challenging and edifying, right? So, that's been the background, and that's where I am now.
If you are just tuning in, Carl Olson is joining us this morning. He is the editor of Catholic World Report, that's offered through Ignatius Press. Carl is joining us today as he introduces himself, or reintroduce himself, as we begin just a new series of discussions over the coming weeks and months to just talk about the Catholic Church and how it is happening and things that are happening around the world. Well, Carl, let's talk about this. You know, we look at our own lives and we become so focused on what is happening in our own church, in our own school, in our own archdiocese, that we forget that the church, it's universal. And that everything that is happening, we think about it in our own, like, kind of American lens. Just kind of for us, in your view, why is it important for us to look at what is happening in the church and documents that the Pope produces and view it with this universal type of lens?
Well, going back to my background, I was raised in a very anti-Catholic fundamentalist background, first of all, and then I went to an evangelical Bible college, which is really the first time that I was exposed to positive views of the Catholic Church. I actually had an Anglican professor who was fantastic, and I had several classes with him. And he's the one who had a very positive take, mostly, of the Catholic Church. It was there that I was first introduced, for example, to a guy named Augustine. So I was introduced to the history. Now, for me, as a fundamentalist evangelical, young evangelical, church history for me consisted of Acts of the Apostles, and then I think there was this guy named Martin Luther, and then Billy Graham. That was kind of my view of history. So this really started to expand my scope of understanding, 2,000 years of church history. Now, take that into the conversation about the world today, and it's the same thing. Like, when we have pieces, for example, about Nigeria or China or things going on in Ukraine or other parts of the world, it gives you a very different perspective on how Catholics have to live their faith, sometimes in extremely difficult situations, and how they face challenges that are completely foreign in, you know, many senses of the word to us here in America. As we were talking about before we were recording this, we have it easy in many ways. We have it very easy. And oftentimes we spend a lot of time kind of bickering and nitpicking and so forth. And there's a place for really good, I think, very good debate and conversation about different issues and different things. But I think having the global perspective, seeing what, say, our brothers and sisters in Christ are facing in parts of the world where they're being persecuted and even killed, where priests are being kidnapped, where students are being kidnapped, and all these things that are happening, it helps us see things, hopefully, in a better light, a deeper light. We understand that the life as a Catholic is ultimately about taking up a cross. Now, here in America, sometimes it's really easy to kind of set that cross to the side. But at the same time, we all face challenges. I think the challenges faced by American Catholics can be very subtle to a degree where we might not even recognize the dangers or the temptations that we face. And so there's kind of a unique, unique factor there as well. So for me, it's been, again, edifying and challenging. And I think that's what it should be for all of us as Catholics.
Well, Carl, again, I thank you for your time today. I really am looking forward to our conversations and kind of looking at some in-depthly some of the articles that you are posting at Catholic World Report, and for all of us that we might be moved to recognize that this is a difficult one. This is something I don't want to think about, but it is all going to be important for us, again, to know what is happening to our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. So, Carl, thanks so much for being with us today. We look forward to our next World Report.
Thank you, Brenda.
Trees of green and red roses too, I watch them bloom for me and you. Myself, what a wonderful world.
Scott, you and I have been blessed with the ability to go on different pilgrimages to experience our faith in different parts of the world. And it wasn't until much into our adult life that that happened, that I actually even traveled to Europe. I was, it was probably only 15 years ago that I even left the country to go to Europe for the first time. And I was amazed to experience our Catholic faith in different parts of the world. So like I said in the open, when Pope Leo speaks about different things that are happening in the world, we look at them through the lens of our American Catholic experience, what's happening in Portland, Oregon, or Vancouver, Washington, or wherever we happen to live. Whereas Pope Leo, he is proclaiming words to every Catholic, no matter where they are in the world. It makes it all seem so much bigger than what we experience.
It really takes me back to when we were kids, and St. John Paul II in his papacy really expanded the experience of the Catholic faith by inviting youth to come to World Youth Days. I mean, that was his mark of his commitment to trying to bring, in this case, young people from different cultures to come together to realize the richness of their faith, and also to expose in many ways the limitations that they may otherwise have in how they view their faith. So that continues, I think, into Pope Leo's papacy. And I'm grateful that he's able to do that, especially having himself grown up in the American culture where, yes, we are insulated, and yes, we deal with a challenge of, as I've always put this as a deacon, the canon law structure of the church juxtaposed by the common law structure of the United States. And those two law structures don't gel together well. And as a consequence, as an American Catholic, we really struggle with that. But when we go to a different culture, like when we went to Medjugorje into Bosnia and Herzegovina, how impressive it was to be with the families, the generations of families that come to Mass every evening to pray and then to spend time together in community. It was eye-opening for us because we just don't get to experience that as often in the U.S. And the beauty of the richness of Mary and the saints all involved in that experience. We can do that through pilgrimage, and I think that's why we encourage folks to consider pilgrimage, to have an expanse of what is our Catholic faith about. It is universal. It is enormous. And the Pope and all of the bishops and the magisterium have to balance every decision they make in light of that diversity of view that exists within our faith.
And not to say that our experiences and the things that we go through here in the United States, that we don't experience suffering. We do. And we have close family friends that are sick or are dying or who have died. And we wonder to God, how can this happen? Because, they are such wonderful people. They are so loved. Or why am I suffering in this way? I go and worship you every Sunday, and yet I still suffer. But that suffering also is around the world. In fact, you had also mentioned that our goddaughter's husband, he just came back from the Dominican. He built a home in 3 days for somebody who literally had mud for a floor. Now, that's something that we don't experience. And yet,
right,
to have that perspective, he couldn't wait to show us the pictures of what they were able to do for one family.
Right. And that's spreading the good news that people who feel isolated are not alone. And for us in America, we have a tendency to rest in the isolation that we experience by virtue of the nature of how America sits in the world. But when we step out of that, and that's Jesus' call, to step out of our comfort, to step into discomfort, where I want to lead you to where I need you, is a tremendous statement and witness of, as a disciple, that we are all invited to. So no matter if you're listening to this and you've been to many pilgrimages or you've never been to one in your life, how to experience a knowing by presence of another person's sufferings that puts yours into right context so you can be an advocate for them and they can be a grace to you.
You know, the lives of the saints are great examples of people who live their life for Christ in all different ways around the world throughout the history of our Catholic faith. And maybe this Lenten season is a great opportunity for all of us to reflect on the life of a saint, or maybe a different saint every week of Lent, and ask them to walk this Lenten journey with us to help us recognize that Jesus is in every part of the world, in every heartbreak, in every tear, and in every joy. He is the focus of our lives, and the saints are beautiful examples to walk with during this Lenten season. Scott, before we go, will you end us in prayer?
Lord, we are grateful for the heart that you give us, the heart that is created by the one who loves us. And so help us to use that heart with the love that we can this Lenten season to become more aware and present to those who are in need, recognizing that we are not alone, but that you are with us always to the end. We ask this in your holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And that is going to wrap it up for us this week. Please tune in next week as we share with you more stories about our faith, our family, in our view from the pew.
God bless and have a great week.
You've been listening to View from the Pew, a weekly look at faith and family life from a Catholic perspective with Deacon Scott and Brenda Aiken. For more information on the Aikens and to listen to an archive of their previous shows, visit them online at materdayradio.com/pew. View from the Pew is produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio in Portland, Oregon.